Well, I appreciate your prayers. Have a little thought I'd like to share with you tonight. In Revelations, 12th chapter, the 11th verse says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Do you have a testimony? You have a testimony tonight? Are you a witness to something? Can you? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It's very important to have a testimony.
Yeah.
To first off, to be able to say, in whatever situation that you find yourself in, to be able to say, "I'm saved." To have a testimony that I met Christ, I met the conditions, and the Lord saved me. To be able to have the testimony, to be able to tell the devil, in whatever situation he might find that he's going to attack in, to first be able to have a testimony that I'm saved. I'm thinking about a time that David was running from Saul, and he found himself in a cave. I think he writes a psalm about it. He's in a cave, and in that cave situation, the King Saul's outside with his men, and David's in a place in a cave, and he gets to having a longing, a desire. "Lord, how can I testify for you like this?" I long for some deliverance.
Yeah.
So that I can testify how great you are. I don't feel like I can say much under this circumstance. I'm a captive in here. I'm down. I've told my men what a great God. I'm at living. Of course, I'm using, if you'll give me the liberty, I've testified to my men and all that are around me. We serve a great God.
Amen.
A mighty God.
Amen.
We serve one that can deliver. Excuse me. One that can get us out of any situation. And how can I go on saying it in here? I need a testimony. I need to be able to say that, but with an assurance. You know, the trials of our life, Lord help us. But the trials of our life are those times that you and I can gain a testimony.
Yeah, that's right.
If we say, "Lord, give me my testimony in this. Allow me to see the hand of God in this situation." Now, I don't know how many people in here invested much in the past few days with the elections and all those kind of things. But I want to testify to you, no matter where you're at with something like that, as the song said, God's still on His throne.
Amen.
God still can give testimonies.
Yeah.
God can still deliver. We can still say it at all. "I saw the hand of God. I saw God working. God's able to take care of this situation." David was in this place, in this cave, and how did he get there? Do you know David had a testimony? Do you remember one time that David goes up and there's a great giant of the Philistines, Goliath of Gath, was there, and David, this little ruddy boy, comes up and says, "I'll take him on. I'll go defend the nation against him. I'll go fight for God." And what are you talking about? Why do you say such a thing? How can you possibly say such a thing? What do you have to say about this, David? And David said the testimony of his life.
Yeah.
You know why he faced Goliath? It's because he had a testimony.
Yeah.
He has something that he can say when they ask him. David, you know what they're talking about. What do you got to say? You know he had to have something to say about that time?
Yeah.
It's time to tell what you know. Yeah. And right now is the time to tell what you know. And what he said was, I was out in the field. I was out in the field with my father's sheep. And a lion come. And a bear come. And the Lord delivered them to me. I took them by the beard and I slew them. And I was able to overcome a lion and a bear. Because God was with me. And God did it. And I've got a testimony. And if God did it then God's going to do it now too. I can overcome this guy because I know my testimony is ring true to my heart. I need a testimony. And David then has went through this and he's went through this and no doubt, do you think he ever recounted that? I'm not saying he was a braggart or a boaster, but do you think anybody ever asked him what really happened? Yeah. Do you think David ever told that? Now, I'm a storyteller. I like to tell stories and repeat things. And I've got Brother Ed will ask me every once in a while to give him a deer story, and I'll tell him a deer story. I like to tell stories and those kind of things. I say story, but I want you to know they're true. I mean, it's not made up. It's not a story in that sense. It's a true account. I say that. You think David ever gave the account?
Yes. Sure he did.
Well, he gave the account of the lion and the bear. I could see no reason that he wouldn't add another one to it. And saying also there was this giant one time, and no doubt he told that. Of course he told it, and others told it, but it was David's testimony. I expected him to say that. I expected when the devil come and said, you can't do it. He said, I did it to the giant by the help of the Lord. That giant fell by the help of the Lord, and so won't the next giant too. And the next difficulty will too, and the next one too, because I serve a God that slays giants. I serve a God that can deliver. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. And I ask again, do you have a testimony? And I don't mean a testimony of 20 years ago. Testimonies never grow old. The testimony of what the Lord done for you can be told. It can be told when it happened. It can be told yesterday. It can be told today. And it can be told tomorrow. It's worth telling. But just a testimony of 20 years ago is not an on-date type thing. It needs to be a living testimony. An ongoing testimony. Has the Lord spoke to anybody in here this last week?
Yes.
I hope that there would be somebody that would say, yes. Has the Lord ever healed you?
Yes.
Can you say, I know. I know the Lord touched me. Has the Lord ever answered your prayer in a way that left you without a doubt that God had done it?
Amen.
Has God ever delivered you from a weakness that you've had in your life and gave you victory over that weakness? Has God ever done that? Well, I hope the answer to those questions is yes, yes, and yes. I'll be honest with you. When I don't testify on Wednesday nights, it's not because I'm too shy. It's because I don't have a testimony. Because I will give the testimony if I got a good one. I usually give the Lord the testimony because I love the Lord and I want to give Him a testimony. And so I will at least say I love the Lord and pray for me or something. I want to testify for the Lord. But the reason people don't give a testimony is usually not because I'm too shy. It's, be honest with you, it's usually because, well, there's not really anything going on. But it's okay to tell past things. It's okay to have that. But we want a good, living, alive testimony, one that's working, one that we can overcome by. When the devil comes by, it's okay to say, I got saved 40 years ago. But it's better to say, I got saved 40 years ago, and I'm still saved today. And the Lord just been talking to me, and devil, you're a liar, and the Lord visited me today, and you're a liar, and God's been faithful, and devil, you're a liar. And I've got something in my soul. I want us to think tonight about having a testimony and allowing God to give us a testimony in our lives. As we go through life, and as things happen in our lives, and if we face opposition, that the end of that, and maybe someone comes against you, Lord, give me my testimony here. I want this testimony for this soul. I want to be able to stand up and say, God bless this situation. Amen. I got victory over this. I got a testimony of how God has helped me in my life. I'll be honest with you. I've gained more by failures than I have by not. I mean, failures aren't anything we want to boast about or have in our life, but failures can be a stepping stone towards a closer relationship with God. It can be a testimony where you say, I had a weakness, I had a failure, I had a place that I wasn't what I ought to be, and God had mercy on me. And you know what it does? Many people that have the same problem that don't want to admit it will end up saying, me too. Me too. I'm in that place. Maybe I can get help too. I want that testimony to where the Lord delivered me. I've had the Lord do some wonderful things and healings. I've told you, many of you have heard them over and over, but I was holding my eldest, she was only a year old or so, and I was holding her in my arm, a high fever, and I was praying for her, and I felt the fever. This is my testimony. I felt the fever go right up my arms. I felt it come out of her body and go right up my arms and right out through me. And I felt it. Her fever was gone. I laid her down and she relaxed and lay down and went to sleep. The fever run right out of her, right through me at the answer of prayer. You believe that? Well, it doesn't matter whether you believe it, because I'm going to tell you, I believe it. Because I experienced that experience. Yeah. I experienced it. I know it happened. I was there when it happened. I know it happened. And it's a testimony that I can turn and tell the devil, I'm going to tell you, devil, God works on our behalf. And you a liar. Oh, I've seen God do things and do things. And another time, one of my children had blood poisoning going up there, running up their leg. They had an infection, blood poison running up their legs, these streaks running up their leg. And they had a place on their foot, and he was a little boy, and his hands got just about as red as beets, and it looked like he had blown up these rubber gloves. They were just all swollen, and he was all infected and fevered and all of that. And I was praying up into the night and praying and desperately praying. And during this time of his, he was rolling and fussing, and I was praying and earnest in prayer, and all of a sudden, this great peace came over me. God poured out something, and this calmness and peace just came over my spirit, over my soul, and I just almost literally went back in a relaxing and knew. And I knew God had answered my prayer. And I immediately, my son immediately just calmed down and just went to sleep. Woke up the next day with all that gone and all that. You say, well, I don't believe all. You don't matter to me. My testimony. I was there. And God did that. God's a mighty God who works for His people. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of testimonies waiting to happen. There's a lot of places that God's wanting to confirm.
That's right.
Himself to us. I want to look at a scripture over in John. I think I'm looking for the 9th chapter. 9th chapter of John. I'll start with the first verse. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can worketh. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, there's a lot in that, folks, but it's not the message, so I'm not going to touch on it. It says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Yeah. Now, I have read that it was a common thought of those days that there was something in spit that had a healing power to the eyes. I don't know if that's true or not, but taking that it could have been that, it would be important in this reading, because they later accuse him of working on the Sabbath day, and that would have been a natural work of that. Not what the Sabbath day law meant, but it was what they was accusing him of. But it says, and when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, he made the clay of it, and he anointed the man, and he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. Okay? So some of them says, now obviously a blind man has a certain look to him, and no doubt when he come back with his eyes, it would have gave him a different look somewhat. And plus, how often is it that a man is blind from his birth and has never seen, and all of a sudden that he does? So it would have been an easy thing to have wondered about it, or at least been doubtful of the situation. And some said that's him, and other ones said that it's not him, but it just looks like him. Now, how would you settle this debate? Well, it's pretty easy. He says, yeah, I'm him. Now, if anybody knows who it is, it's him. The him in this knows it's him. And he knows the whole situation of that, and so he can answer it. And folks, it's important to the testimony that we're the him. It's important that the testimony that we have is a direct testimony of our relationship with the Lord. I think it's important, and I think it's valuable for me to get a boost from you. And when you testify of what the Lord's done for you, and it witnesses to me because He's done the same kind of things to me, it boosts my faith that the Lord done something for you and enhances my experience, and I'm glad for it. But it's not enough for me to have an experience that you tell about. It's not enough for you to say the Lord answered my prayer. It's not enough for you to say the Lord healed my body, or the Lord's worked with me and helped me and done those things. It's not enough for me to just hear that from you. I need my testimony that I am that man too. I am the one that the Lord has done something for. I'm the one that answered the prayer. It's a great thing, folks, to be able to call on support in prayer. But don't ever diminish the fact that you have a direct link to God yourself through Jesus. I mean, there is no substitute for you being able to pray and get a hold of God. And God wants you to. He wants you to call on it so that you'll have the power in prayer to be able to pray and contact the Lord. He wants us to be able to do that. So this guy, the man says, he said it was like him, but he said, I'm he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes, and said, said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received my sight. That was his testimony. It happened to him. He never saw Jesus do it. He heard of him, and he came, and some fella, and he done this. And he told me to go to the pool and wash, and I did it. And now I can see. What then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said one of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Yeah. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes. He said he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that received his sight. And they asked him, saying, Is your son, whom you say was born blind, how then does he see? Now, it says that they didn't believe it. So they need a testimony. They need a witness. I would say second to this man that this man's parents would know the story. He said he was of age, so to the Jews I think that was at least 30 years old. And so the man had been around a long time since he was born blind. I suppose their parents that had dealt with a blind child, a blind young man, and a blind man, and had done all of that, I imagine that they knew that he was blind. And so they could testify to the fact of something that they knew, that this man was blind. And we know he was blind, and we know he sees. Oh, folks, I'm going to tell you. We need an experience. I don't think any of the Pharisees was ever blind and received their sight. And I'm sure none of them was blind and Jesus didn't come along and do it. Because had he of, they would have said, now wait a minute. I was blind. And now I see. You know, it is impossible. Just think about this a minute. How could you possibly, what technique would you use to convince this blind man that he wasn't blind or that he didn't see? What would be the technique? How would you go about if you was going to try to convince this man that what he believed wasn't true? That he either hadn't been blind for 30 years or that now he doesn't see? We all recognize that would be an impossibility. That's what I'm talking about. An impossibility of the devil being able to tell us that we haven't got what we have. It's impossible. I know I was blind and now I see. Others can say, I know he was blind and now he can see. Others can say, I can say, I know I was lost and undone. And I know that I'm saved now. I know the Lord opened my eyes. I know I've got a testimony to the Lord. I know He's real. Listen, I know He's real. Because He's talked to me. He's helped me. He's given me things. I know that He's real. In the hardest time of my life, I stood and told the Lord, I'm at my wit's end. Lord, I'm done. Unless You do something, I'm done. I'm at my wit's end, Lord. And the Lord opened up. It was like heaven opened up and poured over my soul. It so overwhelmed me that nothing changed in my circumstance. But I was like empowered. I was made strengthened by this grace of God that poured over me. And I knew that this trial would not consume me. I was going to make it. And I knew it. That's my testimony. And the devil can't take it from me. I was there when it happened, and I know it happened, and I only say there is endless testimonies waiting for His people. He has all kinds of testimonies waiting to give us, to fortify us. You know, sometimes we just need a good, strong testimony, a good, strong witness of what the Lord can do. So they asked the parents, and the parents... His parents answered him and said, We know not that this our son, and that he was born blind. By what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, asking. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that Jesus, that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He's of age asking. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see.
Amen.
Then said they to him, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Now, I just love that. To me, that was divine. Because that was exactly the answer that they needed. That was exactly what they needed. You want me to witness this again to convince you to be his disciples? Are you trying to be a disciple? I mean, you stick around long enough and you ain't going to have no choice about this being a disciple. Because this is overwhelming proof. The testimony's too strong. It's too powerful. This man healed me in blindness of an age blindness. I mean, this just didn't happen from a sun being in my eyes too long. This didn't just happen in a flash of light. I was born blind for 30 years, and this man healed me of this. Will you hear more of him? Do you want to hear more about what he can do? Do you want to be a disciple of the Lord? Will you also be a disciple? Do you want to be a disciple? The discipleship is built on something. Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. What was he talking about? Upon the revelation. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter. My Father in heaven revealed it by revelation. It's by testimony. God gives us these testimonies. This is what it's built on. This is what the church is built on. It's built on a personal relationship with the Lord. That I know God's real. God talks with me. God walks with me. God answers my prayer. God gives me grace when I need it. He becomes real to me. My testimony is God's healed and helped and been real in my life. And it's a testimony we need to have. The testimony. It's what the church's power is to have the experience of the Lord. We don't have the big bishops or the big vicars of the Son of God, and we don't have all of those things. What we have and what God gave us was an individual ability to touch Christ.
Amen.
The body and members in particular that have a relationship with the Lord, called to their own place, put in by their own place. This is what it is. A testimony that we all can share. I don't have much trouble convincing this congregation that God has done the things that I say He has. And do you know why? It's not hard for this congregation. Because you all have the testimony. Because you all have the same kind of testimonies in your own life. You can relate when this is said. You can relate and you can remember back, right? And you can think back of the times that God did those things and did those things and did those things. Is it over? Is God through? Or does God want to give more testimonies? He wants our testimony to be enlarged as we go on, because we're going to need it to overcome. We need to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And the word of our testimony, and love not our lives unto death. This is the power that those had at those times. This is what we need now to have the same kind of an overcoming power in our lives. To be able to say, God's with me. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have invested a little of my emotions in mind. I tried not to so much, but I invested in the election and those kind of things. And I've had to deal with some emotional things. But you know, the strongest thing that I've had, I never trusted men anyway. And the one I put my trust in is still trustworthy.
Yes. Yeah.
The one that I put my faith and confidence in rules in the affairs of men. There is nothing that the Lord isn't in control of. There is nothing that we have to fear about anything, because basically we're pilgrims and strangers here anyway. We're just looking for a better land anyway. We're looking to something so much more. I say from this day on, Lord, lead on. And give us the grace to follow. Give us the grace to have the testimony that we can say, and no matter what the situation is, God is your helper. Look to God. He'll help you out in your times of need. God will lift you up out of that place. God will give you strength for duty and power to be able to overcome all of the attacks of the enemy. God will help us through it all. This man's end up thing was is to say, I was blind. I don't know about all the other things, but I know this. I was blind, and now I see. And you'll never take that from the blind man. We'll look at another scripture about a testimony in Acts 9.
Oh, yeah.
And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings, first verse, and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him a letter to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him, about him, a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go unto the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Story of Saul turned Paul. The story of a man who had passion, a man that had zeal, a man that thought he was doing the will of God, a man that had learned and believed what he believed very, very passionately, and would probably argue a great argument in what he made. You know one strange thing I say about us people? Once we get our hooks in something, once we believe something, it's really hard to convince us against it. And especially if we've made arguments for that point, boy, it takes a lot to convince us against it. And I imagine this was absolutely shocking to Saul, because Saul was convinced that he was right, and he didn't have no argument with men now. There was no debate about whether it was right or not. The very King Jesus met him on the road, stopped him in his tracks, stopped him absolutely, and said, Saul, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? It's hard to kick against the bricks. It makes me kind of think it wasn't the first time that the Lord tried to penetrate that hard shield that men can get in their lives against the things of God. Why? It's hard to kick against the bricks, isn't it, Paul? Now I've got you where I want you. Listen up.
Amen.
I imagine that was fearful, trembling fearful. I imagine it was a hard thing to deal with. It was going to take some time for the recovery and the healing of his eyes and all. But boy, did he get a testimony. Can you imagine? Now, I'm not suggesting that every testimony of everybody in here, and I don't want to leave this thought that somehow that our testimonies have to match up. They don't.
No, that's right.
We don't have to have a Paul on the road to Damascus experience or testimony. But we've got to have our testimony.
That's true.
But Paul had a testimony, and I want to tell you, I believe, and I know there's times in the Scriptures that he did it. How many messages do you think Paul started off when he stood up and the people quieted down, and that he said, Brethren, I was on the road to Damascus. I was on the road to Damascus. I had my opinions. I had my ways. But brethren, let me tell you something. I was on the road to Damascus, and the Lord Himself met me there and stopped me. He arrested me and changed me and altered me. He gave me a new direction. And now I've got a powerful testimony. Do you remember what I think Felix said to him? Thou art mad, Paul.
Yeah.
You're mad. Much learning has made you mad. You're nutso. You're crazy. Paul, you're crazy. Oh, I would that, if I'm crazy, I would that everybody was crazy like this. I would that everybody met Jesus like I met him. I was on the road to Damascus. Listen to me, King Agrippa. I was on the road to Damascus. Listen to me, Caesar. Listen to me, governors. Listen to me. I was on the road. I'm a Jew. I didn't believe any of this. I was on the road to Damascus. And the very one that I thought was a fraud, a fake, a one that they tried to pull something over us, I never believed it at all. But I was on the road to Damascus.
Amen.
And Jesus met me there. It's hard for me to think it any different now. I've got a conversion now. I'm different. God changed my heart. Do you know that wasn't... God changed him, but it took him a while. He didn't just go into this right off. You know, Paul went away for a while and got all connected. God worked with him. I think it was about 3 years and then he come out in full force. But God dealt with him and gave him stuff and he come out saying, I know the Lord. I got a testimony. I've got something that's real to me. Do you think, what would have been your argument if you was going to sit down, maybe a bunch of you get together and pull old Paul in and say, we're going to convince Paul that what happened to him didn't happen? You're going to go the line that you was in, you had a dream, Paul, and you woke up. What are you going to say to Paul to try to convince him that he wasn't on the road to Damascus? Or that he was on the road to Damascus, but he didn't see the light, he didn't hear the voice, he didn't have experience, he didn't go blind, none of these things happened? It's impossible. It's an experience.
That's right.
It's a testimony. It's impossible to change. Paul became a great worker for the Lord. So much so, and we'll look at one of the powerful scriptures, I feel like, that he wrote in Philippians, very common scripture. Philippians 3rd chapter, I believe. Paul gives his credentials. 4th verse, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. Well, that was pretty boastful, I guess, in a way. He wasn't trying to boast, but he was basically saying, I think that I have more to say about this than any of you do. Because I had really got there. I was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous within the law, blameless. I did it all right, folks. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss. Yea, loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. All of this that I've had, all of it that done it, I'm chasing a testimony. I'm chasing a testimony. You know what the final testimony of this man was? I think you can find it in 2 Timothy, 4th chapter.
Yes.
I'm ready to be offered. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. This was this man's, at the end of his testimony of at the end of it is, I'm willing now. I've made it. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. All of these things to challenge, all of these things to fight, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to go and be with the Lord. I'm ready now. For I gave it all up that I might know the excellency of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I might win Him, that I might know Him, that I might experience, as he goes on to say, that I might, yea, doubtless, I counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. Oh, I've got to have a testimony.
Yeah.
I've got to have a testimony. What is it about this guy? Do you know anything about Jesus? Can you say, I know him. As far as I know, there's no account that Paul, if I'm not sure, but did Paul ever come in contact with Jesus? Did he know Jesus? Did he sit down and talk with Jesus?
Yes. Not in the body.
In the body? Did he know him in that way? But yet he knew him. I know him. I've learned him. He says that I might know him. You got this? Do you have this testimony? That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. That resurrecting, life-giving power. I've felt it. I've known it. I think there was a scripture that said there was some that they said that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took knowledge of them because they had been with Christ. There was something about them. There was a testimony. They testified about the resurrection. There was something about these people because they had been with Christ. There was something there. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Whoa! Whoa! A testimony! A fellowship of his suffering. A testimony! Being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You don't think Paul had some baggage?
Yes, he did.
I'm wondering if Paul ever come into contact with any of the family of the people that he persecuted. He had people killed. He had women. I mean, this wasn't just men on some kind of battlefield. He was having women. I mean, there was being abusive to women and children and throwing them in jail and killing them. And this was not pretty. And after it's over, be kind of hard to live with it. Be kind of hard to deal with it. But he says, putting the things behind, striving for a testimony that I know Christ, I press towards the mark of the high calling of Christ. I'm of God in Christ Jesus. I got a mark out there. Lord, give me that testimony. Give me that testimony to where I can say the giant fell. Give me the testimony to where I say, I conquered that land. It seemed unconquerable. It was full of enemy. But I conquered that land. Lord, help me to change Marty. Help me to change who I was. The Lord, help me to be a different person. To be one that was made after His image. God, help us. Give us the testimony. I used to be that way. But I'm not that way anymore. Because God does a work in our hearts. The world is desperate to see the reality of our testimonies. Remember, we need a reality. This is our reality. It's not something that just Brother Salmon said. It's not something that just one of the old Brother Fred done back in the book, or there was something written, or something that this is not just something of ages gone.
No.
This is something that lives on.
Amen.
They overcame in their generation, face the battles and overcome. And now, it's our time to face the battle, to face the situations, and to present Christ to the world. I got a testimony. Jesus still lives. I got a testimony. He's not gone. There is still deliverance in Christ. He can still change the alcoholic, the drunkard. He can still take care of addictions. He can still take care of habits. He can still take care of the sin-sick soul. He can still deliver the soul. And we need to be examples and witnesses and ambassadors of Christ that we can stand up and say, I don't need to say, well, let me refer back to somebody that said something, that when I'm in a conversation, I can say to the ones I'm talking to, I was blind and now I see. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.